We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Beautiful Friday in the Queen City, and today on Sabres Live, we'll be talking about knee-jerk reactions to long-term deals. With Marty Baron, I'm Brian Duff. Hi, Marty. How are you?
I am really good. Now, are you talking about if I was to sign a long-term deal, what knee-jerk reaction would there be there? Or
here's the thing.
Strictly to players.
This market loves you so much there isn't a term long enough that would cause people to feel any sort of uneasiness or unrest.
Would I sign a lifetime deal today? Like, would I do it? That'd be interesting.
I don't know. You have so much curiosity going on up here that I don't know if you could attach yourself to a singular thing for the duration of your time.
I, you know what? On the golf course during the Rochester Americans golf tournament the other day, we were talking about, isn't it Mark Wahlberg that was talking about his vodka company and how George Clooney's vodka company sold for $3 billion, but they only did so many cases and his is doing three times that and whatnot. And then I was talking about the 50 cent when he was in vitamin water. He basically took like a percentage of what the company would be valued at. And when they sold the company, he made like millions and millions and millions of dollars. So I don't know, maybe that's something that should be added in contracts, like the Mark Messier with the Vancouver Canucks deal, where he got part of, and Mario Lemieux, part of ownership and, you know, some stakes into the business. Like, I think that should be a part of deals as well.
Well, there's your natural segue. Terrible contract. Mark Messier and the Vancouver Canucks. Is that the equivalent modern day of what happened yesterday with the Flames and Nazem Kadri? I say hard no. I recognize that Kadri is going to be 32 on opening night, which means in the seventh and final year of his deal, he'll play it all out as a 38-year-old. But I have a lot of questions like who's actually going to be in Calgary longer, Kadri or the GM Brad Treliving? These are things that I think about at times like this. And or will Huberto and Kadri play on the same line for the duration of their deals? Huberto doesn't start until next year. He'll be 30 years old when his 8-year deal kicks in. Kadri's is a 7 that starts this season.
Okay, well, number one, I don't know that Huberto and Kadri will play together this year because I think Elias Lindholm is their number one center in Calgary. But over time, if the leftovers of all these long-term deals are Kadri and Huberto and players are being traded out or reach UFA or don't perform, then maybe they end up playing together. I don't have a problem with some of the big long-term contracts that have been given out.
Well, let's focus on Kadri first.
But exactly, I was going to say, but with Kadri, what I am a little bit concerned is that Nazem Kadri had a fantastic season this year. 87 points, career year statistically, won the cup, was very committed to the discipline factor, did not get suspended in the playoffs this year. Woo-hoo, it's a win, right? But again, it's a one-year thing. It's a one-year frame that we're focusing on right now. Would you have said that Nazem Kadri is a $7 million player over 7 years 12 months ago, 24 months ago?
No, but I could have seen 6x6 going into UFA.
Yeah.
And then if you're
and
saying
with Colorado
that,
and I, too.
Right. I'm being honest. I think recognizing that the player has been historically underpaid, and knowing that he was going into unrestricted free agency, and he was much talked about even before he started posting his career numbers, that he would be one of the biggest names out there come this summer. I think 6 times 6 then would have been a very fair number. And if you then say, oh my gosh, he went off and won the Stanley Cup and stayed disciplined, and there were teams in need of his services, I don't think it's a stretch to get to 7 times 7 real quick.
Okay. I don't think it's a stretch because obviously he performed. He had 28 goals, like I said, 87 points. But a year removed from that, he had 32 points in 56 games. Now, people are going to say, "But yeah, but it was a shortened season with the pandemic." Okay, he played 15 more games last year and had 55 more points. That is the danger that I still go back to. Yes, Nazem Kadri was one of the top free agent available this year, a center that can play in all situations, power play, 5-on-5 killed penalties, has some edge to him. And the package is there. Now, I think Calgary is a really good fit for Nazem Kadri again, because I don't see Kadri being a first line center. I see him as a second line center, secondary scoring for the Calgary Flames, and a team that last year, yes, they had Johnny Gaudreau, they had Matthew Tkachuk, but scored a lot of goals, had some great offensive numbers. I still think Calgary will have that offense, and it was going to work for Nazem Kadri, just like it worked really well in Colorado. So were the numbers a little inflated because it was Colorado and the way they played? Possibly. If Kadri had signed with, let's say, the New York Islanders, do I expect him to go back to 90 points or close to 90 points this year? I'd say no. I would say I don't expect that out of Kadri. So I think it's a danger to a certain extent to sign somebody that's going to be 32 to a 7-year deal like that for $7 million. But I still think that Calgary made a really nice deal with everything else that they did and keep going forward. So I'm going to let it slide. I think it's maybe it was $1 million over, as you pointed out, over a long term, but it's not $3 or $4 million overpaid.
I don't think it's the dollars that are over. I think the term is the problem.
Well, unfortunately, players look at,
no, I
want $50 million. I want $45 million. How do we make that happen? Mm-hmm. And a lot of time you have to stretch it over 7 years or 8 years to make it work. Right. That's
no, and I understand that. I'm not questioning that. I'm just saying that in a perfect world, you would have kept him a little younger, but at the same time is the knee jerk reaction from a lot of people that, you know, this is going to blow up in their face. They can't have a guy at 38, being expected to play at $7 million status. Like, why do we think this way? And what are you supposed to do? Just say, okay, Edmonton, here you go. You can have the Battle of Alberta for as long as McDavid and Draisaitl are in the lineup. Like, isn't the goal to win?
Especially if you're the Flames because of the team that you have.
Here's the history lesson people need to have. When the Flames couldn't get past Edmonton in the 80s, they had to make some very, very, very bold moves, one of which cost them Brett Hull for the duration of his career.
Yep.
Guess what? They won the cup in 1989. If at any point the Flames win in the next 2, 3, 4 years, no one is going to give a you-know-what about Kadri having a 7-year deal, or Huberdeau an 8-year deal, or Mackenzie Weegar 7 times 7 this fall. It's just not going to matter. The goal is to win.
And I hate to say this to bring up the Dallas Stars, but you mentioned the Calgary Flames. The Dallas Stars drafted a young stud in Jerome Iginla and felt like, hey, we're in a win now situation here, and we can acquire Joe Nieuwendyk for the Calgary Flames. We are going to trade Jerome Iginla to Calgary. Now, you tell me, from the time Iginla entered the NHL, who was the better player? Iginla or Nieuwendyk?
Joe Nieuwendyk, because he won a Conn Smythe and led Dallas to the Cup, and he's a Hall of Famer just like Iginla. So I won't even go there.
I would say,
in my opinion, or as good a player as Jerome Iginla.
From the time Iginla entered the league until he exited the league, Iginla was better. But the trade was that Dallas needed to have that piece now and not look down the road. And Calgary is in the same spot right now. Yep. They lost Johnny Gaudreau and Matthew Tkachuk, and they want to keep moving forward. They made the commitment to Jacob Markstrom. They made the commitment to Oliver Shillington, and they traded for Uyghur and Huberto. You have to make the commitment now to win.
Well,
and to be competing,
it's not really a commitment, but
it's no,
a
but
good
they
contract.
Still signed them to because they say, hey, this is where we got to go. We got to move forward. Mm-hmm. And as you pointed out, they have the Oilers in their division. And like the Battle of Alberta brings that level of intensity up. Like Calgary lost to Edmonton last year. They don't want to do it this year again. They don't want to be the second team in Alberta.
Like they were for a huge chunk of the 80s, even though the Flames went to the final in 86 and then won it in 89. Now,
yes,
the funny thing is you mentioned Gaudreau. So obviously Flames fans were ready to give Johnny Gaudreau at age 29 the max deal.
$10.5 million
for 8 years. He ends up getting a 7-year deal at age 29. Okay. So look, the hardest part in all of this is losing a young star player in Matthew Tkachuk. All these transactions are never going to undo that for the Flames. They end up landing on a 29-year-old Huberto, a soon-to-be 32-year-old Kadri, and a very experienced Mackenzie Uyghur, who still has a lot of mileage left on his tires, to round out a very decent defense corps. So that part is always going to sting, but the reality is, this is an interesting exercise, and there's probably, you know, many other ways to go about it than the way that I chose to, which is a little bit more old school. But if you're trying to look across the league at 29-year-old players who still have a lot of years left on their deals, and the money in those deals seems a little off, you don't have to search very far, Marty. Oh my goodness. Like,
who do you got?
Even Kucherov is already 29. He's had plenty of injuries and he's got 5 more years to go. Ovechkin's 36. He's got 4 more years. John Carlson, Darcy Kemper, Brendan Gallagher. Oh, by the way, Zach Hyman's 30. He's got 6 more years with the Oilers. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is 29. He's got 6 more years with the Oilers. So, like, you can see, you know, Evander Kane, Mark Stone, Petrangelo, Bobrovsky, Oliver Ekman, Larson, John Tavares, Sidney oh, my goodness, the Penguins. Like, okay, we're not expecting a drop with Crosby at age 35, but Malkin's 36 and now has 4 more years. Rust is 30 and is starting 6 more years. Raquel's 29. He's starting 6 more years. Letang's 36. He's starting 6 more years. Like,
they acquired Jeff Petrie, who's 34. He's got 3 more years. So that takes him to 36, 37.
Carlson, Vlasic, Palat, Shen, Pareko, Krug, Falk, Letty, Panarin, Zibanejad, Kreider, Trocheck, Schwartz, Deneau, Huberto, Duchesne, Yossi, McDonough, Landeskog, Spurgeon, Brodin, Sagan, Ben. Casey,
so this
Cizikas
is all over the league.
31 and is starting a 5-year extension.
Well, okay. Well, that's if we want to go to the Islanders, because we're talking Kadri and now you just
brought
Cizikas.
It starts at home. Jeff Skinner's 30 and has 5 more years. So yeah. There's a location bias to all of this.
And again, like the Jeff Skinner's situation was a little bit like Kadri, where Skinner had a great year and had that leverage of one really good year in a contract year. Kadri had the same thing. Now, what did we say last year when Skinner really found his scoring touch again and produced? We're like, oh, okay, well, maybe that's not the $9 million player that's going to score 40 plus every year, but at least you're not that far off and it's making it look better. Kadri could be the same thing. Even if Kadri doesn't get 75, 80 points next year,
I expect him to be a 50 point player over the lifetime of his deal.
50 to 60, you're still close to that $7 million figure.
Mm-hmm. Especially with inflation value. And when the cap eventually goes up and you define a role player as a number two center, I don't think this is going to be too far off, and it's always going to be very easy to connect the dots as to why he got the money and the term when he got it. That's
and if
the
Calgary
thing.
If Calgary beats the Oilers this year and the second round of the playoffs, Just that 1 year is worth it, right? And if you go to the conference finals, it's worth it. If you go to the finals, it's worth it.
Yeah.
That's what the Flames' mindset was, and I appreciate it. Now, you mentioned Casey Cizikas. We can talk about the rumor mill that led the New York Islanders for the last month to say they have Nazem Kadri signed. It was even rumored $7 times $7.5 million. The contract is in Lou's top drawer. They just need to move money, which could very well be the case. Maybe they had agreed on a number, but could not make it work because of the Islanders cap situation. Now, I go to Cap Friendly a lot, every day, multiple times a day. So according to Cap Friendly, the Islanders still have $11 million of cap space. Now, the problem is they do have to sign Kiefer Bellows, Noah Dobson, and Alexander Romanov. So between those three, it's going to take a chunk out of this $11 million. To be able to sign Nazem Kadri, they needed to move a $4, $5, $6 million player, just like the Calgary Flames had to do it. But the Flames were more interested in desperate in getting it done, which they send Sean Monahan to Montreal with a first round pick. They basically did what Vegas did with Max Pacioretty. Say, we have to make the room. We have no other choice.
Right.
Here you go. Somebody take him. We'll give you a sweetener. Make it happen. The Islanders, I don't know. I'm not an insider. But from what I'm trying to piece together, could have easily said, here, who wants Josh Bailey? We'll give you a second round pick to take Josh Bailey, who has 2 years left at just over $5 million, I believe. Josh Bailey is $5 million. So 2 years at $5 million, take a second round pick, right?
That's easier said than done. There's not a lot of teams that want that.
But that can do it. If it had been a one-year deal, probably easier, like Sean Monahan, one-year deal. If you say, hey, who wants Jean-Gabriel Pageau? Well, Jean-Gabriel Pageau has 4 years at $5 million, so that's harder.
I think you'd want to keep him more than you'd want to keep Bailey.
Yeah, but if you're trying to sign Nazem Kadri,
but we had this discussion before. It would make no sense to bring in Kadri and trade Pageau. Like, you're not putting yourself further ahead on the competitive scale.
No, you're not. I mean, getting rid of Cal Palmieri would have definitely helped, but the no trade clause and the 3 year left at $5 million.
The obvious
help.
One, because of the greed factor, meaning they want to maintain an elite platoon system, is they could have moved Varlamov when the market was hungry for goaltenders, but they chose not to. So now you're stuck with two number ones, stuck not being a bad thing, because obviously they're only two seasons removed from back-to-back trips to the Final Four. But it's so funny how it plays out, right? Like, everybody expected the Islanders to do it. And then we go back to the knee-jerk reaction. It's like Calgary gets them for $7 times $7, and Islander fans are like, thank goodness we didn't give them 7 years, right?
So the same people would have been chanting Kadri's name, lining up the Islanders store to get a Kadri jersey.
I think we've spent an inordinate amount of time on the Islanders, so we can park in probably and just let them be, and they'll be what they'll be, because that's Lou's way and it'll always be that way. The real how it impacts the Sabres is perhaps what is Montreal's reality now that they have acquired Monahan, who's on the ice 4 times a week and fully expects and wants to eventually be healthy and back to the 30 goal type player that he was. And he's in the final year of his deal. So he has to prove it this year if he wants to maintain his place in the NHL with the reputation that he once had. But Carey Price simultaneously is unable to play this year in all likelihood, and maybe has played his last NHL game. So paint the picture for us of what Montreal is, what their season might look like, the cap gymnastics they may have to do in the off season here. And ultimately, because this is Sabres Live, how does any of this impact the Buffalo Sabres down the road?
Okay. So on Montreal, Kent Hughes, the general manager of the Montreal Canadiens, said yesterday that he's actually interested in potentially saying, let's see what Monahan is. And maybe that could be a long-term scenario. So he gets Monahan, he gets a first round pick. It works for the Montreal Canadiens. They have some cap gymnastics that will come down the road here in the next month. But I don't anticipate it to be a problem for the Montreal Canadiens. They know if you acquire Sean Monahan, you know that you can also sign Kirby Dach and make it work. They also know now that Carey Price is most likely done. So that $10.5 million on the cap will be moving to long-term IR at the start of the season. The only problem with the Canadians is that every summer, that $10.5 million for the length of Carey Price's contract comes back on their cap. But you have the 10% overage that you can use in the summertime, but $10.5 million is a lot of money. If you're a Montreal Canadian teams and you want to be at the cap, you want to be aggressive in free agents and you want to sign players, that $10.5 million comes in and it hurts you. So if Carey Price can't play anymore, I fully anticipate that contract to maybe be traded in the future to a team that it doesn't matter, i.e. the Arizona Coyotes or somebody else. But what are the Montreal Canadiens right now? I think it's, I personally don't think it's a good team. I think it's a team that's trying to rebuild and regroup and move forward. But they're probably 2 or 3 years away at the very least before getting their feet back underneath them. They did draft Slafkovský first overall. Great. But let's think of the Sabres when they drafted Dahlin first overall. It takes time to still put it together. Let's look at the New Jersey Devils drafting, you know, Jack Hughes and Nico Hischier, top end talent. It takes time. So I think Montreal is still a few years away. I don't see them competing in the Atlantic Division just like the Sabres will this year.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's because I view teams more so with the half full idea of there's nothing wrong with Nick Suzuki, the player. He's 23 and presumably should keep getting better. Like, I have high hopes for Slafkovský. We clearly saw Cole Caulfield elevate under a new head coach in Marty St. Louis.
Cole Caulfield is still young. He's still 21 years old.
Right. I mean, still on his entry level deal. Like, the question always is can players get back to what they once were? Now, the obvious answer is yes, they can, but will they? Brendan Gallagher, Josh Anderson. I mean, Evgeny Dodonov's pretty consistent. Mike Hoffman, Christian Dvorak.
Yeah.
Like, these guys, it wouldn't take an awful lot for them to be better than they were last year. They don't even have to get back to what their highest end level was. And like, if all that happens, they're not like, that's a lot of guys that could potentially score and help drive the offense. But I understand why people say what they say about Montreal and what the projections will be. And the number of draft picks they've acquired for the next three seasons is very reminiscent to what the Sabres have gone through. But I guess I just don't expect them to be as bad as what. So I guess, but
because we have Pat Malacaro coming up, because we have Pat Malacaro coming up at 12:30 to talk a little hockey at the Bisons on Saturday evening. Yeah. I'm going to say this. I would say there's a better chance in the next year that we get an announcement that the Expos would be coming back to Montreal than the Canadians factor in a playoff race. That's how I think Montreal is really, really going to continue to struggle inside their own organization this year.
Okay. If you don't think their group as presently constructed is actually going to try to win, and I'm not saying that you said that exactly,
they're not going to be as bad as Chicago and Arizona.
Are you expecting them to move some of those players I mentioned? And again, let's end the segment with how does it affect the Buffalo Sabres?
Okay. So I still think that they want to build around guys like Brendan Gallagher and Josh Anderson. Like, yes, they have Nick Suzuki and Cole Caulfield and some of the younger players, that moving forward will be their core, but I think if they want to move on from Josh Anderson, it would have happened already. If they wanted to move on from Brendan Gallagher, it would have happened already. They're going to give those players a chance to bounce back. But another year of underperformance by those two players, especially, but you can add Christian Dvorak, who they got because they're like, oh, well, we lost Philip Deneau. We got to replace the center. Let's get Dvorak. didn't work last year. So Hoffman, there's a lot of those players. If they underperform this year at the deadline or even next summer, I fully expect the Canadians to say, we're going young. We don't have Carey Price. We are going to restart at the bottom and keep moving. So I think this is where the Canadians are at right now. So I don't think that by doing my Atlantic projection, I'm saying, oh, is Buffalo ahead of Montreal? No, I got Buffalo way ahead of Montreal. I'm not even worried about it.
Okay, let me ask it one more way here in the final 20 seconds. Should Buffalo be interested in anything on Montreal's roster to potentially enhance their own?
If there was a team-friendly deal that could come their way on a Josh Anderson, who's 28, that would have 4 years left. But again, I don't think it fits in the age group that Kevin Adams is trying to build. And I like Josh Anderson when he plays at the top of his game. I watched him last year dogging it and not getting to where it needs to be and not having that physical presence on so many nights that I'm like, well, I don't want this guy. I want a guy that performs well. But at the same time, Montreal wants Josh Anderson that performs well, right? So I'm not interested in so much in what the Canadians would have, those older, underperforming veterans. No, I think the Sabres should be continuing to look at value and developing their own. They'll get to that point.
Hockey Night at the Ballpark is tomorrow. Pat Malacaro, longtime hockey reporter on WGR and voice of the Bisons, joins us next here on Sabres Live. WGR Sports Radio 550 and MSG.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.TV. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
We are less than a month away from the Prospects Challenge happening at Lecom Harbor Center, which is kind of the unofficial kickoff to Sabres season. But we get to celebrate Hockey Night at the Ballpark tomorrow as the Bisons are doing what they've been doing, and that is celebrating the early days of the Sabres history in the form of special jerseys that give a nod to the Sabres and also really welcome in the entire Buffalo hockey community. The Buttes, the Sabres, all part of a big night at the ballpark. Pat Malacaro, voice of the Bisons, is with us. Hi, Patty. How are you?
Hi guys. Great. Thanks for having me on today. It's going to be a fun night at the ballpark tomorrow. This was the one I had on my calendar that we were supposed to have in 2020 after a successful 2019. And I can't wait to finally have this one back on the calendar tomorrow.
What are the expectations for Jeff Skinner and his ceremonial first pitch? Marty, is there a betting line on this? Will he throw a strike?
I don't know if he'll throw a strike. I wonder if he's going to do like a figure skating jump, like a double axel, then throw, because we all know he's a pretty good skater. I would say this. I did throw the first pitch at the Bisons. I did it with the Phillies in Philadelphia a few times. Do not go on the mound. Jeff, if you're listening, pitch from in front of the mound. Number one, the mound throws you down. You throw it into the dirt. And the depth perception, like I'm used to playing catch with whatever, but the backstop is so far, in those ballparks that the depth perception is weird when you throw it. So that's what I would say. Pat, you've seen first pitches. Anyone or anybody that stands out from you that did really good, and could Jeff elevate himself to that level?
Well, I mean, there's been so many great ones over the years. I mean, it's the old advice that one of the former presidents got was just don't skip it to the plate.
Yeah.
I think you're right. Don't go on top of the mound and just act like you're playing catch. Don't try and throw a fastball right down the middle. Just let it go, and it'll be a good first pitch. And I know Jeff and Malcolm Subban are planning on coming out and you know, taking part in maybe a little bit of pre-batting practice. So maybe they get some tips from the players as well before they head out there.
And we're expecting Kyle Opozo, Owen Power to be there for an autograph session along with members of the Buttes like Cassidy Sove, Courtney Maud, Allison Atea, and Megan DeLay. So this is all part of, you know, I feel like a really genuine celebration between these two organizations.
Absolutely. And we had the first hockey night at the ballpark.
Three, I should say, including the Buttes, obviously.
Absolutely. And the first hockey night back in 2019 with the Sabres was such a great success. We wore blue jerseys that night. And, you know, there's several Sabres, Kyle Opozo through the first pitch. And, you know, just Kyle wearing the hockey night hat the last 2 years. It was great to see how he's embraced the hockey night and how much he liked it. And he put out the video that we did recently with him and, you know, debuting this hat. And I think it's just a great partnership between you guys and us and being able to celebrate hockey and around professional sports. Women in sports has been such a big emphasis this year, and especially in minor league baseball, where, you know, we're having full crowds again and back to the promotions that we've come to have over the years. And this is a way for us, I think, to include the Buttes, who have been such a great addition to the Buffalo sports landscape.
So, Pat, you know, with hockey, sometimes we get bloopers and we get a lot during the season from all around the league. You got a pretty good blooper just a couple of days ago with it wasn't a fly ball. It was a line drive to left field that got stuck into the wall. So take me through your call when, hey, line drive to left, and then boom, it's stuck there. Like, how did you react to that?
It's something I've never seen before. And I've been around baseball for almost 25 years. And even my partner has been around for almost 50 years. None of us had seen that before. So it's like, we almost didn't believe what we were seeing. And, you know, the first thought was maybe it got stuck in between two wall pads, because that's not uncommon. But then I heard that the ball came off the bat at 111 miles per hour. And then the great replay that you guys are showing right now, you know, I saw it on my computer and in my monitor. And I saw it stuck in the wall, and it was almost perfect, because you see the hand silhouette kind of sticking out and almost like it's catching the baseball. And it was stuck in the pad. The outfielder told somebody that all he heard was a loud thud, and, you know, it stuck, and he tried pulling the ball out, but it was so jammed in the pad. That's how hard the ball was hit. And, you know, it's everywhere. Every site was retweeting the video, and it was a pretty cool moment. And, you know, Gabriel Moreno is the top prospect in the Blue Jays organization. So, you know, this was just another highlight for him. And I know someone like Jeff Skinner is a huge Blue Jays fan. So I'm sure, you know, he'll be looking forward to meeting Gabby tomorrow. And, you know, to have the top prospect and a lot of these prospects here in Buffalo has been great. And now just, you know, add this highlight to the mix.
I wonder if, because in hockey, sometimes when you take a slap shot and shatter the glass or break the glass behind the net, it's not about power. It's about finding that weak spot or hitting it just perfectly. This one was truly about power. As you pointed out, the exit velocity, 111 miles an hour. Like, I mean, that was a rocket that just destroyed the wall. When you're calling the games, when you hear it off the bat, can you tell? Because I always, like, if I go to a game, I stand up every time it's a fly ball to the outfield, and I'm like, it's a routine fly out to center, right? Like, could you tell now that you've done so many games when it hits the bat that it's going to be a home run or not, just from the sound of it?
More often than not, sometimes you get fooled, and the ballpark here in Buffalo is so tricky because you hit a ball the right field and the wind can knock it down. So what seems like a great swing off the bat isn't necessarily a home run. But then to left field, if the ball gets up in the air on a swing that isn't the hardest hit ball, sometimes the wind can carry it out. So yeah, normally you can tell, but there's always those odd occasions where the ball either gets knocked down or goes further. Like, you know, sometimes you can just tell, boom, that ball is going not only over the wall, but out of our ballpark down Seneca Street. You know, there's those no doubters, which, you know, happen once or twice a year, which are fun, but it's all, you never know what you're going to see at the ballpark. And that's one of the reasons why I love coming to the ballpark every day.
It is truly amazing. This week has been yet another incredible one for the game at all levels, with the uniqueness of certain plays and statistics. Like, dare I say this, and I know deep down you have some love for the Cardinals, so I shouldn't be going down this path, but, you know, they made some history with having two 40-year-olds in the same game do something that hadn't been done, and that was Pujols hit a slam and Wainwright throw seven scoreless innings, both above the age of 40. I'm sure you saw the highlight the other night of the batter who, you know, it full swing, and then it sat there in the dirt in front of home plate.
Yeah.
And so that in itself is not unlike what you had with the ball being stuck in the wall. I don't know how, after centuries of this game being played, that there can still be so many unique occurrences inside the confines of a ballpark.
Absolutely. And that's what makes it fun to go to the ballpark every day. And my partner, Duke McGuire, who's played the game, has worked for the Bisons for over 40 years. Even he has seen things like you're showing right now, the video of the Columbus Clipper player who just cues it off the end of the bat and boom, it's like craters into the ground. These are the things that are always fun. And you like to be part of them. Sure, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. hitting monster home runs here in 2018 and 2019 was incredible. And those are moments we'll never forget. But then you have Gabby Moreno hitting the ball and it's stuck in the wall. And those are things that you just won't forget here at this ballpark. And it's going down memory lane is what is a big part of baseball as well.
Pat, absolutely. I learned something watching the Yankees last night, and two nights ago, Josh Donaldson hit only the third ultimate walk-off grand slam in Yankees history. And I'm like, what is an ultimate walk-off grand slam? Is when you're down by three and your grand slam wins the game by one run and it's a walk-off. He said only Babe Ruth, I want to say Giambi, and now Josh Donaldson were the only three Yankees. Like, I felt like, and the announcers, Michael Kay was saying the same thing, like, I didn't know that existed. And you guys talk about things that happen over a century of playing that we don't even realize. Do you have to highlight certain things during games and you're like, I better remember this because in 20 years, 10 years, like I've got to remember this actually happened?
Absolutely. And that's what, so the Bison franchise, we have only had two no-hitters in the last 35 years. And it's all, we always knew when Bartolo Colon threw the no-hitter here at this ballpark in 97. And it would, when would the next one happen? So moments like that, or the biggest walk-off win or come from behind victory that the Bisons have had in their 35 years. Those are all moments that, you know, go in the record book and you keep special note of those, or the play like the ball stuck in the wall the other night. Those are things that you look back on in 5-10 years and say, yeah, okay, that hasn't happened in X amount of years, or will this even happen again? So yeah, those are things that we play 150 games, the players do here in this level. So it's a long season, but those are the things that you remember back on for sure.
Well, the viral video of its day, which was late 80s or early 90s, was the AAA player running through the wall to make the catch. And then we have now since seen that many times, A, because there's more video available, and there's just this heightened awareness of like, we need to get this out there and promote it. By the way, the stat of the week in Major League Baseball was Cleveland's 6-run, 8th-inning performance after striking out 3 times in the inning.
Yes.
So that is only something that, you know, baseball can brag about, is the oddity of such a thing. What should we know about Bisons, Sabres, Buttes night, hockey at the ballpark tomorrow night?
Yeah, the gates will open at 5 o'clock for the 6:05 first pitch. So if you're coming for the autograph session, you want to make sure you get here to the ballpark right away. The autograph session with the Sabre players and the Buttes will take place between 5 and 6. And if you get your autographs, head into the stands, because Jeff Skinner's first pitch will be, you know, right before the 6:05 start. And it'll be just a fun night to be here at the ballpark, and, you know, a fun Saturday night. And I've got the jerseys behind me. I've even got one hat here with me too. So yeah, I'll show it a little bit closer. You see the jersey right there. I think they look really sharp this year, and the caps to go along with it look really good. So you can find all that stuff, and you know, love growing this partnership, and looking forward to seeing the smile on fans' faces when they come to the park tomorrow.
Not a long, a lot of days, a lot of games left to the season. The Bisons are only 3.5 back from Durham and half game back from Lehigh Valley. So what to expect for the rest of the season, playoff push and all of that for the Bisons?
Yeah, it's going to be fun. The Bisons only have a chance to make up ground against the teams in front of them right now against Lehigh Valley. So the 3.5 games about behind Durham. The season goes till September 28th, and then there'll be a playoff. So there's still over a month of games left, three more homestands actually after this one, including starting next week. Bisons.com has all that info. So if fans want to come out and see the other promos after tomorrow, they can do that as well.
Patty, thanks so much. Great to see you, and can't wait for another great weekend of Bisons action at Salem Field.
Thanks, guys.
There's Pat Malacaro. Quick break, and we'll wrap up the week on Sabres Live right after this.
Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
We have a little bit more time left, Martin, to get to what was, you know, it was actually a really busy show yesterday. And we didn't get to everything. So I know you felt
Calgary Flames and Nazem Kadri for that. So
mildly snubbed that you didn't get to your diss or dat. So before we do it again, so to speak, World Juniors semifinals today, how many Sabres will advance to the final?
I am going to say, unfortunately, I'm going to say zero. I think the top two teams in the competition are Canada and Finland. So I think they would meet in the finals with Sweden and Czechia losing. So that's what I anticipate. But Sweden, Finland could always change. I just don't see Czechia beating Canada, but Sweden, Finland could go either way. How many do you think?
Three.
You think, you think Sweden and Czechia meet in the final? You're wishful
thinking.
Half full,
baby. Got to be half full.
I know. And I understand that. And I actually think that there's the way Czechia played in the last game, I think showed me that, oh, yes, they beat the U.S. and they could continue to play well. And for me, it all depends on Sweden's goaltending. If Jesper Wallstedt plays like he did against Latvia early in the game, he only faced 13 shots, but still he faced six in the first, six in the second, some chances. But Finland's a really good team. They've got a good team put together.
Was there anything else NHL-wise that you felt the need to get off your chest before we dive into this or that?
Maverick Lamoureux, or Lamoureux, we say in French, just signed his entry-level deal with the Arizona Coyotes. Now, if you remember at the draft, when he got drafted in the first round by Arizona, his parents, we tweeted the French kiss. Like, it was French people, French kiss. That's what I said. So he signed this, his entry-level deal. Seems like a great kid. And there was I listened to him on NHL Network talk about, you know, the summer and all that, always a big smile on his face. This is a kid that, because his parents were infamous on social media because of the kiss at the draft, I'm going to keep an eye on him just because he's literally genuinely seems like a great competitor, a good kid. Mm. And he's big. He's not big in stature yet. He's tall, but maybe somebody that we'll keep an eye on.
All right, this or that time. Four Rangers prospects have been tossed from games this week at the World Juniors. Coincidence or revealing?
I would like to say coincidence, but what is revealing to me is not so much that they are New York Rangers, is that everybody's getting five-minute majors at the World Juniors. That is international hockey. And the referees are not NHL referees, although we complain about the NHL referees a lot too. But they're still young referees that make mistakes. And the rules in the IIHF are that it's unfortunate, but it happens. The other day, was it the U.S. kid slew-footed the Czechia kid? It wasn't a slew foot. They gave a 5 minutes. They reviewed it. I'm thinking this is going to be a 2 minutes for tripping. They counted a 5 minute for a slew foot. So I think it's more a revelation to IIHF play and what the rules are.
But do you think eventually the NHL trends away where officials, quote unquote, protect themselves even more?
I believe that too.
Yeah,
I believe that so the IIHF has adopted more NHL rules in their game to make it easier for everybody to follow along and be consistent. But the standard of officiating when it comes to infraction, especially 5 minute major contact to the head, dangerous plays like slew footed or cross check from behind, that the NHL will start giving out 5 minute major more often to protect players in that situation.
Okay, more likely, this is going to be a sore spot for some, more likely to be a playoff team next season, Senators or Red Wings?
I am trying to build a case for the Red Wings, but I just see the Senators ahead of the Detroit Red Wings. I know the Red Wings have acquired Villajuso as a goaltender. They still have Nedeljkovic. They made some really good acquisition up front in depth department. They've got some great players, especially Mo Sider on the back end, Lucas Raymond, Dylan Larkin. But I see what the Senators did, bringing in Cam Talbot, bringing in DeBrincat with the talent they already have in Norris, Tkachuk, Shabbat. I think the Senators are more likely to be in the playoffs. So that's me. Duffer, I don't know if you have an opinion on this. I would see you be more a Red Wings, I think, from what you've said over the past.
No, because anybody that knows me knows that I've been saying for 3 years that the Senators have amassed a ridiculous amount of talent. And I quite honestly, I think both of them are on the right path, which is why we have the discussion daily about how the Sabres fit in all this. There's only 2 points separating the three of them. So why is this not dissed out or the other? Meaning the Sabres.
I just think because maybe we'd like to see who is the biggest threat to the Sabres to fight for a playoff spot. So I think that to me would be the Ottawa Senators if we answered that question as well.
And that's why on your tombstone, it will say he was very reasonable. Remember that discussion?
I know, the other day. I'm just a reasonable guy. That's on my tombstone right there.
Magnus Hellberg's goalie setup, thumbs up or thumbs down?
Okay, so first of all, Magnus Hellberg signed with the Seattle Kraken. He's got an unbelievable set of Brian's pads. And for those that know,
my absolute favorite,
it is like Brian's have been really good in the custom making of pads and the design. But this setup by Magnus Hellberg is fantastic. Last year, Chris Drieger, Philip Grubauer, Drieger, especially with his Vaughns, was really nice, but this blows them out of the water. It looks like there's layers to the Kraken tentacles and the eyes and the red. It's a fantastic setup. Congratulations to Brian's and Magnus Hellberg on the set.
Have a great weekend, everyone. See you Monday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.